Your favorite film. Awful.
Hello, and welcome to Your Favorite Film is Awful, the weekly show where we take your favorite films and defend them against negative reviews. As always, I am Luke, and with me is... It's Charlie. Of course it's Charlie. Who else would it be? You can see him on the screen if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're not, why aren't you watching it on YouTube? But without further ado, Charlie, how are you?
I'm terrific, mate. We've got a good one for today. I'm very excited about it. Things are good just because of this alone. I'm excited for this movie. I'm excited just to talk about this film.
Fair enough.
It's a film that's been brought back into the zeitgeist, Luke. And I'm very happy that that is a thing, okay? And but anyway, how have you been? That's what I want to know. Times are tough right now, so how are you?
I've been good. I'm away from any work I'm not on my own. I'm with my family, so I'm kind of in a very lucky situation. A lot better than a number of people I know, so I cannot complain about my situation. I am good. What have you been up to recently? What have you watched? What have you not watched?
I watched a couple of things, actually. First one I'll talk about is... I watched Amy, the documentary about Amy Winehouse. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this?
I saw that you watched it, but I haven't seen it myself.
Yeah, no, I went into this not really knowing much about Amy Winehouse, other than what I sort of, a couple of her songs and what I saw in the papers growing up sort of thing. But the documentary I thought was absolutely phenomenal. It was a really tragic, sad story. Essentially about this, you know, jazz singer who just, you know, wanted to make music and loved the music and ended up being destroyed by not just the people around her, including her, one of them was a dad, I feel like, but also like the media itself and the paparazzi. And it's some of it's so uncomfortable to watch. Like I was watching some of it as if I was watching a fucking Hitchcock scene, like the tension or just it was just horrible, like, to watch. Like, because you're being given the information of, like, the bad state of mind that she's in at this certain time, and then you're seeing, like, all the paparazzi are taking pictures of her and, like, following her everywhere, and it's just, and obviously you know that, you know, she eventually dies anyway by the end of it, like, so, like, there's that added tension of, like, this is just uncomfortable to watch. Like, I found it very uncomfortable to watch, and I thought it was some really great filmmaking for the, you know, on a documentary side of things, because I feel like it really captured her life and really gets you into her mindset with it. I thought it was really good. So that was the first thing I watched. And the other thing I watched was I'm Thinking of Ending Things, the new Charlie Kaufman.
Oh, yes, I've seen
on
that.
Netflix. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember you spoke about it, actually. Not too sure how I feel about this one.
Same, really. I don't think I think when I spoke to you, it was in private, because... as the audience probably don't realize, is that we continue to talk about films even off the podcast.
Exactly. Sometimes I think I've spoken about films on the podcast and I haven't. I've just spoken to them about with you, and I'm like, oh, I should have mentioned that I've watched that. And sometimes it seems like I haven't watched it even, but it's like, no, I've already spoke to Luke about
it. Yeah, I've been there. But yeah, I'm Thinking of Ending Things. So what was your overall feeling, apart from I don't know?
I had a very similar... feeling to watching it as I did watching Darren Aronofsky's Mother. I don't know if you've seen that as well.
I have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would... I can't agree with that, but I'm going to let you continue.
Okay. And what I mean by that is I was really enjoying, like, the build-up and the filmmaking, because I think some of the tension and the awkwardness in... I'm Thinking of Ending Things is phenomenal. I was like, this is great. And the way he was showing time, like, quite similar to how he was showing it in Synecdoche, New York. I thought it was really interesting. And I was like, this is kind of spooky. It kind of gave me, like, Haunting of Hill House vibes in terms of how the, you know, it seemed like the house was, there was something wrong. And I never quite understood what was going on, but it was keeping me intrigued. I was like, okay, what's the answer? And it was one of those things where it was like, this movie is like really good right now. This build up's so good, but it was getting me to ask so many questions. Do you know what I mean? But it was like I was sort of getting to the point where I was like, I don't know how this movie's gonna start answering them, and I didn't quite like where it goes.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
It's not necessarily that I had a problem where it goes. I think it's just more like, I don't know if it's one of the movies that I prefer on a second watch. Do you know what I mean? Because you're expecting, when I'm watching it, I'm like, I'm watching one movie and then it turns into a completely different movie. Felt like. So I'm not too sure I feel. It's like I really need to sit on. But that's how I kind of felt with Mother, where it was like this. I was really loving the filmmaking and like the way it's being built up. And I thought, like, that's the thing, because like, these are two filmmakers that I love, like Darren Aronofsky and Charlie Kaufman. So I was like really excited for both of these movies. And I feel like they both took a turn for me where I was like, oh, this is not what I thought, where this was going to go.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels a bit, I feel a bit cheated by the end. Do you know what I mean? I felt a bit like, I know a lot of people love Mulholland Drive. And I have a similar feeling with Mulholland Drive as well. Where, you know, without saying too much, I'm loving the movie the whole way until it kind of sort of gets to its resolution where it sort of, I feel like, fizzles out. I mean, that is a movie I need to watch again. Maybe, you know, it went over my head, but was a big, which is weird because, again, David Lynch, love David Lynch. Blue Velvet, I think, like, it's like probably one of my favourite films. I love that movie so much. And Wild at Heart, and I think they're fantastic. So, yeah, I think it's interesting. I think sometimes, I'm always intrigued when a filmmaker that I love kind of makes a movie that, I don't know, challenges me a bit more. It always makes me want to rewatch it. Does that make sense? That's kind of how I felt about it.
Okay.
How about you? What did you think of it?
Fairly similar, Bo. I'd say that I preferred Mother to this, if you were to like head to head them.
I feel the other way around. I feel like I preferred this to Mother, but there you go. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I've watched Mother twice and I've only watched this one once.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've only seen both of them once, so.
Yeah. Hmm.
I mean, funny, because there is another Mother that is better than both of them, and that is the
the other mother, from Caroline. Pardon?
The other Mother. the Korean film Mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know of it. I've not seen it. Of course I've not seen it. I'm the normal person in this conversation.
Which is directed by Bong Joon-ho, actually.
Ooh.
Who did Parasite. So it's
he did do Parasite.
Must watch, actually. One of my favourites. Mother is fantastic. Got to see that in the cinema last year before things went how they did.
Yeah,
they were showing it at the Prince Charles, but yeah. Anyway, should we get to what the film we're talking about tonight?
Shall I tell you what I watched first? Make it a bit more conversation.
That's a good point. Why didn't I ask you that? For some reason, I thought we already spoke about it. What is?
It's okay, buddy. It's
what is
okay,
wrong with me, man. You
it's
know, time.
Okay.
You know, guys. You know,
it's okay.
Give me a break. You know,
we're all under a lot of stress.
Exactly,
we're not.
Exactly.
We're in national lockdown currently. At time of recording.
I'm sorry, I do care about what you've seen.
I don't know. I feel like you just want to get into this film. I feel like you might really like it and you just want to, like, laser visioned. The film I watched was King Charles III, which was, I've written his name, Tim Pigott-Smith's final performance. It is a play that they've turned into a film, and it is great. It is a hypothetical of if the current Queen of England dies and Charles steps up to the throne, and it's great because, okay, so the whole thing is that he is faced with a bill, and in the UK a law comes into order when the Parliament agrees and then the royals sign off on it.
Yeah.
But the concept of the film is that Parliament have signed off on this bill, but King Charles does not agree with it, and so does not sign it. And then it's like the royals versus the government, and like brings up lots of questions, and you get to see everyone snaking each other, and it's real good. It's great. I was really into it. Like, people who in real life you'd think are heroes, because they're all real people, apart from maybe the person that's the prime minister at the time. The royals, of course, they all exist and they're all in the public eye. So it was interesting seeing this fictitious version of those characters and like their potential motivations and their ways of thinking, because this isn't written by a royal, it's written by a playwright, and it's great. It's real good. I really enjoyed it. It's very well done.
That sounds really interesting. So it's about sort of like the government and the royal family sort of come in butting heads almost.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds quite interesting.
It was great. It was great.
I must say, when you said public eye, because mm-hmm. obviously I'm hearing you through Zoom and, you know, it's not the best way to hear someone. I don't know if it's because I'm a little bit, you know, obsessed with it at the moment, but I thought you said Cobra Kai instead of public eye.
And that, my friend, is a beautiful segue into the actual film of this episode, which, if people haven't read the titles, we can now reveal. So, continuing this season's fan-submitted film requests, this film request comes from a very, very close individual to the Your Favourite Film is Awful family, and that'd be your brother.
Yep.
And he has asked us to do the original, is it the original? Well, it's the 1980s version of The Karate Kid.
Yes.
Yes. Is it the original?
I want to say it's the original.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, the original, because they did the remake with Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew that, but I wasn't sure if they'd, like, taken the name from another The Karate Kid. Because they always do that. It's so strange. Mm. But The Karate Kid.
In which they do Kung Fu. In the remake, they do Kung Fu in the
Brilliant.
It's the karate, which is brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay, so for the people at home that have got this far, have enjoyed our musings, and now are ready to face the episode anew, what is The Karate Kid about?
Right, for anyone out there who hasn't seen The Karate Kid, I mean, stop right now and go and see The Karate Kid. Actually, no, watch the whole video.
Well, if you are going to stop right now, make sure you come back. Actually, you know what?
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
You know what, actually? Mute this video. Let it carry on. And then watch Karate Kid. When you come back, just close that window. Open the window anew. And then go into this again. And then that'll be two views. Smart.
Exactly. Do exactly as Luke says. He knows best, everyone. Trust me.
But please, what is the film?
So The Karate Kid is about a guy called Daniel. He moves from New Jersey down to the West Coast. And he gets bullied. And he hasn't got a lot of money. His mum, and it's only him and his mum. They haven't got much money. They live in a crappy sort of estate, place, area, would you call it that? And he's getting bullied at this new school. But a lovely man called Mr. Miyagi comes to to be his saviour and teaches him karate so that he can fight against the bullies. That is essentially the plot of The Karate Kid, without spoiling everything, even though we're going to go and spoil everything right now.
Yeah. So. Okay, fair enough. That's basically the film, yeah. But you did fail to mention a tiny thing about the film. Well, my good friend Lex gives a half star out of five, and just kind of highlights what you've missed, and that's this was so boring, I think my heart actually stopped several times.
Right, well, somebody get this man a body bag, because how could you be bored of The Karate Kid, for a start?
Bored to death several times.
He wanted to die. Damn. I mean, it's a cheesy 80s movie, don't get me wrong. It's got all of the trimmings of all the plots you've seen before. You know, the structure is there. You know, you've seen this structure a million times, right?
We have.
Particularly in 80s movies. But you got to think, these movies defined the decade. Mm. Particularly this one. This was like the way that Rocky was defined, sort of defined that kind of 70s, you know, in terms of the sports movies. The Karate Kid, I feel like, is the 80s. Well, along with the Rockies as well, which are directed by the same director.
I'd go as far to say that the Rockies are... The Karate Kid is a teenage version of the Rocky film.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's directed by the same guy. Yeah.
And they're both loved.
Yep.
John G?
John G. Avildsen, I believe his name is. Johnny G. He directed this movie. And, I mean... this is one of those seminal movies for me as a kid. I mean, and for hundreds of people out there, I feel like, where it got so many people into the martial arts.
Mm, well, yeah, you're a
karate or anything.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Hey, you said taekwondo earlier, I think, or kung fu. You didn't say. I've plucked taekwondo out of my brain. I don't know where that came from, but Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So, was this one of those films that inspired you to take up a fist fighty craft and the discipline?
When I was younger, I absolutely loved this movie. I was obsessed with. I mean, it was one of the movies that sort of opened me up to like kung fu movies and martial art movies. I started Thai boxing when I was like 15 because of this movie and films like Bloodsport and the Jackie Chan films and the Bruce Lee movies, but they all come together. And this one particularly, I think, because this one's got so much heart and it's always got that, you know, that American sheen over it. Do you know what I mean? As a kid, it hits you in the feels, you know? This is exactly what I needed to hear. And also, I think it's such a great movie to show your kid in general, just because I think it's got such a good message and like a heart to it. Like all the stuff with Mr. Miyagi. Like, if you don't want to do karate after this movie, then like, I don't know. I don't know how, to be honest with you. I mean, or at least somewhat martial art. Like, it just.
I mean, it's a lot of effort.
I understand people not like. Yeah, look, I understand not people not liking this film. Don't get me wrong. I do understand it hits all the tropes, especially if you're watching it now when we've seen that movie be ripped off so many times, sort of thing. And it's such a movie that's in the zeitgeist. It's one of those films where like you kind of know all the big bits without even seeing it. Do you know what I mean?
It's wipe on, wipe off. It's Daniel-san.
Daniel-san, yeah. Wax on.
I think those are the big ones. Wax on, wax off.
And then you paint the fence, you do all that stuff. And also the crane. Everyone knows the crane kick.
Everyone knows the crane kick at the end.
The crane kick. Yeah, the illegal crane kick.
Is it illegal crane kick? Cobra Kai. Oh.
Well, they like to bring it up a lot in Cobra Kai. There's a whole debate about that.
Okay. Because
I don't know if you know, there is a debate in this movie about whether or not Johnny, who's the bully in this movie,
mm-hmm.
whether he's actually the bully of the film and if Daniel is actually the bully. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. I can get into
this
bully.
Sorry, I was about to burp
talk.
Like halfway through. And, yeah.
And I would have completely let you go.
So I swallowed it.
nobody would have noticed. But now you've brought it to the forefront.
Exactly. I just don't want to do it for the listeners. I don't want to burp in their ear.
Well, you cover your mouth and turn away from Mike. Mm. It's quite simple, Charlie. It's decent etiquette. Bullying. Let's get into that. Let's do this review because it goes into bullying a little bit. So it will flow a little nicer.
Okay, fantastic.
Missa, with a half star out of 5, says, if you can handle constant whining and outright stupidity, then you'll probably be able to watch this movie without cringing. I, on the other hand, can understand why Daniel kept getting beat up. Smiley face.
Damn, really? Because I think Daniel, I don't know about how you feel, but I think Daniel's like a really charming guy. Like, yeah, he whines, but like he's a teenager. Like, this old man's getting him to paint his fence and wax all of his... he said he was going to teach him karate. I understand why he's annoyed, you know, and he's whining. Also, he's getting picked on. He's got no friends. Come on. Give the guy a break. He's a charming man.
This is true. Yeah, that kind of leads into the whole cheesy 80-ness of it, of this junior gets beaten up by a senior on a beach, and so the junior is outcast from the friend group, and immediately it's like, ah, oh, look at you. You couldn't hold your own against a senior who knows karate, is a black belt in karate, and like everybody knows it.
Yes, true.
They call them the Cobra Kais. Like everyone knows this guy can fight, and they don't know fuck all about Daniel, but Daniel gets his ass handed to him whilst being chivalrous. He literally gets his ass handed to him by her ex because he's being nice to her. But that kind of lends into the cheesy 80-ness of, hopefully, these days, that wouldn't happen. And even back then, it probably wouldn't happen like that. Hopefully. Yes. That's my opinion.
That's an interesting thought.
Mm.
Because I think what, as a kid, if someone had said that to me, like, oh, is Daniel the actual bully? I'd be like, what are you talking about? Johnny is horrible to him the whole time.
Well, yeah, then, let's get into this bit, yeah. the bullying thing.
Yeah, and I feel like...
Because I've not heard this before.
Yeah, no, this is a whole thing that's like been brought up specifically around Cobra Kai and stuff. Apparently, it's always been a theory. I never really actually was aware of it until like Cobra Kai come around. But watching this movie back since, it's interesting to see where people have picked that up from. Because rewatching it now, having seen the Cobra Kai, I get that Johnny's perspective a bit more.
Mm.
In the sense of like, if you really watch the movie through Johnny's eyes, you know, his girlfriend, he goes to the beach. All of a sudden, his mates are like, "Oh, look at that guy trying it with your girlfriend." You know what I mean? Trying to wind
him
up.
Yeah.
X. That's true. Sorry, X. Yeah. And he obviously, you know, trying to wind him up. So he goes down there, and all he wants to do is talk to her, and she doesn't. She's not having any of it. She doesn't want it. Then he gets a bit spiteful. He gets a bit silly, doesn't he? When he grabs the. I mean, I'm not saying that Johnny's a great guy. I'm just saying that you can understand his mindset a bit more. I don't think he's not the cutthroat bully I once thought he was. But I think it's particularly interesting when it comes to, like, later on in the movie when Kreese is asking him to, like, kick him in the knee, in the leg, and sweep the leg. And he's kind of a bit like, I don't want to do that. Like, this is, do you know what I mean? I think that whole aspect of it is brilliant. And particularly at the end when he says to him, like, oh, you're all right, Daniel. You're all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's such a lovely moment.
Okay.
Got a lot to unpack. You got a lot of thoughts about this.
So very quickly, I've just had a thought. You know, in Harry Potter, you have Lucius Malfoy, who over all of the films is the bad guy. He's like, he's Malfoy's dad. He's a dick. And then.
Just to put it out there, I've not seen the final Harry Potter movies. So I don't know what happens if he was about to.
Well, you're going to get a little bit of a spoiler.
Oh, damn.
And it's your own fuck. Well, it's not really going to spoil.
It's not like it's. I've not had the time.
It and it's one of those like, it's not going to spoil anything because you know. Lucius is perceived as a bad guy in Chamber of Secrets. Is that Chamber of Secrets? Mm-hmm. He like pulls out his wand and is going to Avada Kedavra Harry before Dobby steps in and is like, whoa. So, like, we know he's a bad dude.
Hmm.
However, he's still Voldemort's henchman. And near the end of the series of films, series of books, he is a weak, snivelly character.
Hmm. Okay.
And that is Johnny.
See, look, I disagree because Mr. Miyagi says there is no such thing as a bad student, only a bad teacher.
Well, yeah. He's not a bad student. He's doing what he was taught, but those teachings are bad.
They're no good, yeah.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah. And also, as much as the kids bullied each other,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even that, you know, the other member of the Cobra Kai who stamps on his knee to get disqualified, he literally straight away is like, I'm so sorry, I don't want to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. But unless I'm mistaken, which is possible because they're all just a load of blonde kids to me, he does that. And then when Johnny and Daniel are going to fight again, he's next to the coach being a little gremlin again. Like, ha, yeah, fuck him up. Ha. I'm like, I fucking hate. Like, I thought for a beat, you were a good lad. You're a good guy. You're all like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to do it. And then immediately he's like, I fucked you up. Kill him. Kill him. Break his legs. And you're just like, fucking hell.
But did you think that sums up like, yeah, they're sort of like, is indoctrination? Is that a right word? Sort of thing?
Well, yeah, the Cobra Kai is like so strict. It could be seen as a cult.
Oh yeah, definitely. 100%. John Kreese is not a nice man. He likes picking on little kids, which is really, really bizarre.
Picking on kids and then 5-1, and it's like, oh, buddy.
He's obsessed with making this poor kid, what a sad man, making this poor little kid's life a misery.
So shit. So bad for them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's be real, right? My opinion on it is that Daniel is not the bully, right? That's just, that's yeah, just crazy talk. That's crazy talk.
My opinion is that I think too, it's an interesting whiny
thing. Yeah, it's an interesting thought, though. I do think that Johnny is not cutthroat bad guy, as we now know from Cobra Kai, but even in the film, you can totally see it. Like, he doesn't really want to do it. And, like, he does genuinely really love Ali as well. Like, he's obviously just really heartbroken about it. You don't think so?
I think he is such a possessive, manipulative little worm. He is awful person.
Johnny.
A nice guy at the end. I'm not. The moment, because there's like two big bits where he's super possessive, and that's like on the beach where he takes it a little too far. He takes the radio and he's like, will you talk to me? Will you just talk to me? I just want to talk. And you're like, this is not a calm atmosphere. Fuck you. This is confrontation you are desiring. And then when they're doing the dance and she's like, okay, I want to leave. And he's like, no, we're going to have this last dance. We're going to have this dance. Yeah. And she's like, fine. And then he kisses her, which is...
Well, he does say, can we? He does say, are you going to leave before...
Yeah, but no, he doesn't. It's like he... So when he goes to dance, the parents are there. It's like, oh, let's dance. Oh, yeah. And then they're dancing and she's like, oh, what time is it? Okay, I need to go. He's like, nah. What, you're going to walk out? We're going to finish this dance. And he may have said, can we finish this dance? But his tone was not, can we? It is, we will.
He does force a kiss as well, to be fair.
And he forces the kiss. Yeah, but then, and that's wrong in its own way, because he forces the kiss, making her into the object between Johnny and Daniel, and thus weakening her character on its own. And it's just like, now she's a prize to be won. And it's like, no! Everything's wrong. But that's cheesy 80s.
She chins him, though. She's quite... She does chin him.
Best bit of the film. When she's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Bam!
That was great. That was. Yeah, so to clarify, I feel like Daniel, he's not a bully. However, what I did think was interesting rewatching it was I forgot how much there's like this sort of class issue going about. Do you know what I mean?
Ali's parents hate Daniel because he's not well off.
Literally because he's poor. Yeah, it's crazy. A lot of it, I was just like, this is really cool in terms of how it affects like Cobra Kai now. Like, I don't know if you know, but Cobra Kai basically follows the story of Johnny and Daniel LaRusso, but Daniel LaRusso is like a big success. He started like a car company, like a car dealership. And Johnny is like a poor, like bum, really. A bit of a loser, really. So it's like their roles are sort of reversed.
Mm.
And like you get to understand Johnny's side a bit more, which is cool because I think that's maybe why I feel a bit more sympathetic to him than you do, because I've watched the show maybe now. Yeah, no, there's little things in it that I thought were really cool. Like, the reason, like, you know when he gets his first car from Mr. Miyagi in the birthday scene? Like,
yes.
I'll talk about that scene a bit later, but that scene, I think, is, like, so sweet and wholesome. Like, I was fighting back the tears with that bit. But it's really cool because he kind of builds a car dealership and he brings up the fact that, yeah, when I gave him my first car by Mr. Miyagi, like, I loved that feeling so much that I wanted to, like, give that to other people, sort of thing.
That's nice.
So cool. It's a really nice connection as well. Like, also, I just love that everyone in the town is like, is everything's about karate. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's like ready for this karate tournament. I feel like, and everyone knows karate or some sort. Or like, even like the kid when he comes down. Do you know when Daniel first turns up and he meets that kid who lives in the same block?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know karate? He's like, yeah, I know karate. And like, I love that he's like disappointed that his karate is not black belt tier.
Yeah.
Like, as good as Johnny's back then. I kind of feel like that implies a little bit that like, maybe they bully him a little bit as well. And maybe he was
definitely.
He would be their, you know, ace in the hole sort of thing.
Well, yeah, there could definitely be an argument to be made that that is the pure reason. And then on the beach, they discard him because he doesn't fulfill that hero image. He's not the person that's going to save the group. He's just another one of them. But they already have three or four of them. They don't need a fifth one of them. Cheesy 80 friendship.
But yeah, Mr. For me, everything that gets to me in this is the Mr. Miyagi stuff. So I need to talk about Mr. Miyagi. Is there anyone dissing my boy Mr. Miyagi out there? Because
I think
if they are, I'm ready.
In a future review,
do you go to the next review though?
Yeah, let's go to the next review because that's something I want to talk about, and you've touched on it already, but I want to actually talk about it. Okay. So this is from Juan, and it is a 2 out of 5, and I think it's actually the highest starred review that I've done this year. So Juan gets it good.
Okay.
Whiny kid learns karate and wins a tournament against guys who have been training twice or three times as long as him. Even when I saw it, he kind of annoyed me. I guess because I wanted to learn karate, maybe I was jealous. This is a nicer review than the others. And I do want to talk about the tournament and the fact that he wins and the fact that he does this illegal kick. I didn't know the kick was illegal.
I know.
Explain to me.
I mean, I don't actually know. I've just been... they just refer to it a lot as illegal. I mean, I have no idea the rules of karate. I think it's... Yeah. I think what they're doing in the movie is Kyokushin karate, I believe.
Oh.
Well, it's definitely like point style fight karate.
Yes.
There's so many different versions of karate. Like, full contact karate is Kyokushin, usually. So I imagine this is Kyokushin. But, yeah, I'm not quite sure. I mean, obviously, that move is like... I love that Mr. Miyagi's like, it's no one could break its defense or something. It's like, dude, he's just holding his arms.
Undefendable. Yeah.
He lifted his knee up. Yeah, so it's like, it's fucking hilarious. Like,
it should be super easy to just parry or just like just move slightly to the left.
It's brilliant. I mean, what's amazing about this kick is that everyone took the piss out of this kick for years, sort of thing. And then the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Anderson Silva, the Spider Silva, the UFC fighter, and Leon Machida, ended up actually using this kick in a fight and knocking them out. In a
oh,
UFC
shit,
match.
Really?
Yeah. They didn't do the arms, but they did the exact same sort of kick. Straight to the
oh,
face.
Damn.
The chin. Yeah, it was an incredible moment in the history but of mixed martial arts. But still doesn't mean that doing this... I love that he just throws him. I love that he doesn't see it coming. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
He just runs into it.
Just runs into the kick to the face and then.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also,
I mean, it's weird that people. Yeah, go on. Sorry, go on.
Did you notice that Danny learns karate in like 2 months? Because he learns karate on. Like, he starts the day after Halloween. And then the tournament is on the 19th of December.
Mm-hmm.
So literally a month and a half worth of wax on, wax off, paintbrush up and down, paintbrush left and right. And he learns the basics, granted the basics, well enough to win the tournament.
Hey, right, okay. Well, let's put it this way. First of all, it's Miyagi-Do karate, right? So it's different. It's not that Cobra Kai shit, you know? It's that good shit, you know?
Ah, yeah.
It's the Miyagi-Do, you know? That's what I always took it as a kid. That this Mr. Miyagi, he's got his karate's next level, you know? So he can teach you a couple of moves in a couple of months, and you're good to go. You know, you teach you this defenseless move. I mean, if you can buy the fact that this defenseless crane kick, you can buy that.
I've just realised, Miyagi never actually teaches Daniel-san that move. When Daniel's in the waves, meant to be working on his balance, he just looks over and Miyagi is doing the move. And then in the montage, he practices to do it on his own accord. He's just like,
I always take it though that when they do montages, that like, that's just the one montage of one day that they trained, and that he's training more, he's doing that every day. That's how I sort of put it in my head. Oh, he's doing it every day. We're not seeing all that because we ain't got enough movie for that.
Of course.
Also, you said about the fundamentals, Luke. You know, you said about the fundamentals. Well, it's very important to know the fundamentals, particularly, you know, in martial arts. If we're talking about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, for example, you know,
yes,
the fundamentals are your core. You can win off of very, very strong fundamentals. It's the same with, actually, another thing. Anyone who's a big street fighter or a fighting game connoisseur.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still on board. Keep going.
Yeah, well, no, the fundamentals are most important. You can win a whole game of Street Fighter by just, you know, blocking, hitting, you know, making sure, you know, whenever they jump in the air to counteract them in the air. Anyway, this is going on a big tangent, but...
Are you comparing martial arts with Street Fighter button mashing in a game?
Hey, look, this is the beauty of martial arts, Luke. And if you didn't realise this, if you're watching Karate Kid, martial arts not only teach you, you know, martial arts, they teach you all things in life, you know? When you... That's what the Karate Kid's teaching us.
It does.
The life lessons are the lessons you learn in karate, you know, mm-hmm. help you in the real world, you know? but yeah,
okay.
No.
Okay, I just want to quickly put something to you, right?
Go.
Now, I don't really remember Rocky that well. Either I've seen bits of it or I haven't actually seen all of it, or it's just been that long that I can't really remember. Mm. So my first question is, does Rocky lose the fight at the end of Rocky?
Yes.
Okay. I put it to you that maybe Daniel should have lost in the tournament.
I know what you're saying. And maybe, you know, the bully... But I do think he makes a good point when he says to Mr. Miyagi, they're just going to keep picking on me if I don't show them that I can beat them now. So I do feel like he does kind of need to win. As opposed to Rocky, like the difference in Rocky is that he's trying to prove that he's not a bum. He doesn't care that he wins or loses. He just wants to prove that he can actually stand and last, go to the distance with...
Yeah, that's Apollo Creed. To self. Rocky's proving it to yourself and Karate Kid is proving it to other people.
Yes, essentially, I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
Just stop bullying him.
Because I've not seen Cobra Kai, I know that the coach is in it now. So, in my head, a good reason why Daniel had to win, with hindsight, I posed the question, but in 30 seconds I've come to realise that maybe he should have won, to change the coach's teachings. Because, of course, as you touched upon and as I've had a think, with this indoctrinated cult-like status, and especially when the coach gives the warning that if Daniel doesn't show up, it's open game for both Daniel and Miyagi. Mm-hmm. So the chances are that if, as Daniel says, the bully isn't going to continue, do you think the coach would have pushed that and been like, hey, this kid didn't win, no mercy, you can beat the shit out of him every day?
Yeah.
From losing, has he changed in Cobra Kai at all? Without spoilers. It's not really a spoiler.
What, the John Kreese? The
Yes, the coach.
The bad coach. No. He's not changed. If anything, he's got more petty. And it's fantastic, mate. It's absolutely fantastic. He's the only one. Everyone else has sort of changed and grown, which is good. But he's the only one that's still, a bit of a dick.
I love that I did that entire bit and it's like, nah, he's not changed.
No, he's
still a piece of shit.
Although, mm-hmm.
Although, without, we love an although.
Trying to spoil things, in the new season, without spoiling anything, because anyone hasn't seen the new season on Netflix yet.
Time of recording
Season three, we get some more of his backstory. And we get to understand why he is the way he is a bit more. And that's what I quite like about the Karate Kid and the Cobra Kai in general, is it's kind of like showing you there's always another side to the story. There's always another perspective. Do you know what I mean? When it comes to these things, and that it's always best to sort of talk it out and not deal with it with the karate, with the violence, and use that as a last resort, which is obviously Mr. Miyagi's all
about.
Yes,
I understand.
Because of that reason, because you don't know everyone's story and everyone's background and how it affects how they go towards things. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why I think I love this movie, particularly when I was a kid, because it's got these great morals of, like, you know, you only use your karate in defense. You only use your martial arts in defense. You never use it for attack, and you never, you know, and I love that scene on the boat with Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san when he says to him, like, "What, you know karate? Like, we don't like fighting," sort of thing. And he's like, "Mr. Miyagi, I hate fighting. He gets nervous every time," he says. And I think that's so true of anyone who's like a true sort of martial artist who trains. It's like, you train so you don't have to, sort of thing. And that's the fundamental sort of teachings of martial arts in general, and I think it really sums that up really well. And I think it's like just a great thing to hear a message for kids. More particularly, I just that scene, it just gets to me in terms of like their dynamic, because he's a quite a lonely man, and you know, he's been quite alone for a long time, as we find out from the movie. You know, he's quite sad that he's lost his wife and child like many years ago during World War II. And you know, he doesn't really have anyone. Daniel kind of fulfills that, and the same way for Daniel, Mr. Miyagi fulfills that best friend that he doesn't have in this new town that
and
in.
father figure
100%. Yeah, and he teaches him the right and wrong. I mean, just quickly, actually, you just reminded me, I think his mum, Lucille, I think she's great in it. Like, I know she's only in it for a little bit, but I think she brings so much charisma. I think it's Randy Heller, I think her name is, the actress who plays Lucille. I think she's really good. I think she does such like mum thing. There's so many like well-written scenes where like she's so caring and loving. She's like a really good mum, really. And even though they haven't got much, she'll do anything for him. And you really get that, even though she's only like a small segment, which always makes me a bit sad, because I feel like you don't really get a moment at the end of the movie with her when he wins, do you?
We don't really get a moment at the end of the movie.
No, it's because it ends exactly like Rocky.
Yeah.
It ends exactly the same as Rocky, when Rocky's like, "Hey, Joe, we did it." He literally says, we did it. And then it freeze frames. But instead, this time it freeze frames on Miyagi's face.
And it's just like, oh, that's where the nod. We're gonna end the movie there, are we? Okay, cool.
Exactly. A little fun fact, actually, Luke, about Mr. Miyagi. Ooh. Did you know that originally he was going to be played by Mifune? Do you know the Toshiro Mifune, who played he was a samurai in a lot of Kurosawa's movies, so like Seven Samurai and stuff. He's a very big actor in Japan at the time. He was going to play Mr. Miyagi. And funny enough, he was also going to play Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think I read at one point. Which is interesting, because they're both like mentor figures, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what the reason was for the Star Wars thing. I can't remember what that was, but I do remember the reason for the Karate Kid, and that was because the director, Johnny G., my boy John G.
Johnny G.
He felt that Mifune was a little bit too... the role would be too serious, because he's quite an intense actor. And they wanted him to be a bit more jokey. And I think that's really nice, because I think they really perfectly cast Mr. Miyagi. I think because he really has that... I totally get what he's going for, and I think it wouldn't have worked as much if he was a bit more serious. Do you agree with that?
I think if he was... like, you need that... the fun element to make it less serious. I feel if he had played it, like, cold, serious, no-nonsense, it wouldn't have been as charming of a film.
Yes.
And it would, like... and the character himself would have seemed maybe a bit more like the Cobra Kai coach. Because it would have been more do what I say, rather than... I'm blanking on his name, but I know his, like... He's Pat. The guy who plays is Miyagi.
Is it Pat Morita?
I think so.
Something like
that. But he... like, the childish, like... almost prankster element of when he's teaching Daniel, and he's like, "Wax on. Wax off." Wax, and he's like walking away going, "Wax on, wax off," and he's like having a bit of fun. Yeah, he's having a bit of fun with it. And I feel like if you did make that serious, it would have been more like a like an army general, so like the Cobra Kai guy, because it would have been more regimented and do this. And I think it would have been less, "Oh yeah, I'll tell you what to do, you do what I say," And it would have been more like, I'll tell you what to do. You will do as I say. Otherwise, you're not learning karate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, fuck off out of my sight.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of like, it would have increased the threat, but not the resolve. Does that make sense?
I get you.
I feel like it makes sense.
I get you. The result is kind of, yeah, I get you. I get you. And you wouldn't have fit the tone as much, especially because, like, you've got to buy quite a lot of as an audience, like the whole karate stuff. So, do you know what I mean? In terms of how that all works and how everyone knows karate. So I think it kind of fits the tone that he's a bit more jokey. And I don't think it would have worked as well. Like Rocky's that movie. Do you know what I mean? You can do that a bit more with boxing, whereas I think karate, people don't really take it as seriously, do they? I mean, especially now. Well, they took it more seriously at the time.
Well, from what I understand is that was around the time when... So like the 80s were when Hollywood was bringing in the Asian essence and bringing in karate and stuff and presenting it to a wider media and being like, hey, people like this thing, so we get more money.
Yeah.
Whilst now it's not diluted as such, but we see it everywhere. And so we're more accustomed to it and we'll it's less of a thrill. It's less of a, oh, my God.
That is true. And I think as well, particularly with, there's a few things like the evolution of mixed martial arts as well. Like people are more conscious of what works now in terms of fighting. Do you know what I mean? Whereas back then, people, if you could throw a kick back then, you were seen as like, whoa, you could throw a high kick, you know, damn. Do you know what I mean? It was seen as more mystical, but then it kind of lost its way with like a lot of, where karate sort of got watered down. They sort of changed the rules so much where it got really watered down, and certain karate anyway, and people's perception of like the gi sort of become a bit more of a joke. Like I watched this video the other day and it was like this guy who went on to, like, you know how we have like Britain's Got Talent over here? It was like, I think it was like India, I think it was, and like,
okay,
this guy was like in a gi and he was like getting things like whacked over his head and stuff, and he's like balancing whilst doing the splits like on this board, right? Someone whacks him on the head and he tries to block it, yeah, but he falls off the ledge and smacks his head on the ground. It's hilarious. And I literally turned to someone, I was like, this is what people don't take the gi seriously anymore.
Yeah, no. it's a comedic element now.
Yeah, I mean, funny enough actually, that's why a lot of jiu-jitsu has turned into like no gi now, so without the actual gi, because they believe it's more appealing to audiences, because people who see gi, they think like karate, and they don't think it's as cool. They just think it's karate, basically. They don't take it seriously or something. But yeah, no, sorry, I don't know. I was going somewhere with this. You did say something. Can you just remind me what you said? Because I was, no. You know, I'm like scatterbrained. You can't remember. Damn,
I can't remember anything.
Oh no. I just annoying. When I'm editing this later, I'll be like, damn, I had a good point to talk about there, and I didn't say it. I'll forget. But anyway.
Well, talking about editing and looking at the time, I feel like maybe we need to get into our reviews and our own feelings and our own discussions. I did have one more, but
so much to talk about.
It's too long. Well, now we're going to have to discuss amongst ourselves.
All right, okay. One more little fun fact, though.
Go on, one more. It's fun.
You know the guy with the dyed blonde hair? He's one of the Cobra Kai's.
Aren't they all blonde? I thought they were all
blonde. Yeah, that's a good point. But one's like more like bleach blonde. He starts on him in the changing rooms.
Yes. Yeah, the guy he takes out during normal fights.
Yeah. Well, that man's name, the actor, is Chad McQueen. He is son of actor Steve McQueen.
What?
Yeah, which is really weird. And I don't think he's been in anything else, really, other than this movie, which is, it's interesting, being the son of Steve McQueen. But yeah, Chad McQueen. Chad McQueen. You couldn't...
Chad.
Chad McQueen. You couldn't... Chad.
You can't get more American either.
Yeah.
This is my son, awesome Chad.
Yeah. Chad McQueen.
Oh, talking about awesome names, very quickly. Total tangent. I was watching... daytime TV yesterday, and someone had changed their name by Deadpool to Force.
You're joking. False. What? Force. What was the last name, sorry?
I don't know their last name. I missed that bit. But their first name was Force.
Wow. Maybe last like, name. Last name cool. would be cool. Like Luke Force.
Luke Force. Charlie Force. No, if my name was Luke Force, I'd even more not be able to escape Star Wars. Yeah, I've already had years. I've had years of Luke Skywalker.
I mean, that's even why you're complaining, mate.
Because I look nothing like the guy. I'm not even blonde. Anyway, I've got to admit, you've hidden it really well. I have no idea whether or not you like this film. There was no indication at all. So I'm going to take this moment. I'm going to let you take a deep breath because I'm not sure where this is going to go. What do you think of the film, Charlie? Do you even like the film?
Look. I like this movie.
I loved it
as a kid. I loved it as a kid.
Okay.
Still kind of love it now because of the nostalgia. I'm very aware of all its flaws. I'm aware it's a cheesy 80s movie. I'm aware that it's a Rocky copy and paste with karate, right? But it's a great time. Mr. Miyagi's a fantastic character. It's one of those things that just transcends the medium. You know, everyone knows Mr. Miyagi. You know, there's... Everyone knows wax on, wax off.
Like they do indeed.
I just think it's one of those like seminal 80s movies. It defined the era. It's a big part in martial arts, I feel like, this movie, particularly for people growing up. It really captures the philosophy of it. And I think all the characters are great as well. Like Miyagi's great. I think I find Daniel really charming. People saying he's whiny. I find him quite charming. I think he's a nice guy, and the way he's kind of cheeky. I really like him. But yeah, I mean, there's not much more I can say other than what I've already said, but it is what it is. It does exactly its job, and it doesn't pretend to be anything else. It doesn't pretend to be higher art. It doesn't pretend to be whatever, but it's just a great feel good movie. I feel like you could put it on any time, and you could put it on in front of it. Most people, I feel like, and you'd have a good time with it. So I was quite surprised to hear some of these reviews. People said it's boring, because I think that's the furthest from the truth. Like, you're the best playing in a montage with karate. Everyone in this town, in this fictional town, knows karate. Funny enough, actually, I'm just going to bring this up quickly.
Go on, then.
I'm going to bring this up quickly. My girlfriend recently asked me what world would I live in if I could live in a film world or like some sort of world. And she was like, wouldn't you live in Star Wars? You always talk about Star Wars. I'm like, no, I would fuck know when I live in Star Wars, because I'd probably just be some normal bloke and I have to deal with these fucking giant spiders and shit. You know, I don't want to deal with that. I've got the world looks like there's sand everywhere. I mean, yeah, I don't want to deal with that, right?
And it's rough and it's coarse and it gets everywhere.
Exactly. But I think I figured it out. I think I want to live in the Karate Kid universe. A world where karate is the most effective martial arts, where somehow none of the other martial arts kind of exist. Yeah. It's just karate, and everyone knows karate, and there's not really any real stakes to it. I mean, that's it. That's the world, I think. That's it. That's the one I'd choose, maybe. There's probably a better option out there, but right now...
I feel like the next remake of the Karate Kid... should be like the tournament should be a mixed martial arts tournament at the end, and it's just our new Danny comes into the ring, and then you're gonna have like Colin McGregor being on the other side being like, gonna fuck you up with all sorts of shit now. You should not have specialized.
I love it so much that you called him Colin McGregor. That is the best.
Oh, it's
thing
Conor
I've
McGregor.
Ever heard.
Oh.
It's Conor, but still, no, but no, sorry, mate. That is so funny.
It's Colin now. I've renamed him.
That's fantastic. I think. No, that would be. I'd watch that movie. He just gets absolutely obliterated.
Just wailed on. First
he
round.
The crane kick and someone just takes him down and just chokes him.
No. He does the crane kick. He jumps, throws the leg. And Colin grabs his leg and just, like, in Avengers, just Loki, Hulk, puny god. Just puny karate boy.
Brilliant. That would be hilarious. But yeah,
and
Luke,
very
what,
quickly,
what did you... Oh, sorry.
Very, very quickly, I just want to go off your, like, perfect world. I've recently rediscovered Star Trek, the TV show with a couple of movies thrown in. I feel that's the world we all need to go to.
Star Trek, perfect.
Star Trek is great.
There's Klingons trying to get me. I mean, it's
so much. However, Earth and the human race are in such a good place that you can't even be mad.
That is true.
It's beautiful, and you can go sleep around with all the aliens. Who doesn't want to? Who doesn't want to sleep with an alien? Who doesn't want to sleep with it?
There's your true motive.
Sleep with it, Luke. Sleep with humans. Sleep with aliens.
You dirty bastards.
And also, it's great that like the human race has got to this pure unity to the point where we can just start hating on other races, but they're different species rather than the human race. It's beautiful. It's lovely. Now, my review. Not even going to segue at all.
Okay.
Karate Kid is good. Mm. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's adequate. It's an adequate movie. I didn't feel the same childish love, and I don't know what's wrong with me, Charlie. I don't know what's wrong with me.
So what, did you watch it as a kid as well? Sorry.
I have memories of watching it, and it didn't blow me away then either.
Oh, that's fair, though. I get that. It's not for everyone.
And especially, because I'm a 90s child, so I've probably watched other films before circling back to Karate Kid. Like, I probably watched Karate Kid on a TV or on a VHS rather than, like, searching it out or happenstancing upon... Well, no, it's happenstance. I happenstanced upon it more likely than desired to watch it.
Yeah, I get that. I think, just quickly, I think for me as well, the whole Miyagi thing, the reason why I connected with that was because when I was younger, my granddad is a black belt in judo, and he used to teach it. And when I was younger, he has this little shed in the back of his garden, and he had like a punch bag and stuff, and he would like teach me things like when I was younger. So we see him as like my Mr. Miyagi. So whenever I watch that, I think I also have that kind of thing connecting. Yeah, share that little personal story to everyone.
That is lovely. Although now I do need to ask, after you and your granddad watched The Karate Kid, did your granddad extort you for child labour and get you to sand down that shed?
to wax on, wax off his car,
sand his shed, give it a quick lick of paint, only upwards and downwards motions.
That's funny.
No, I'm sure he was lovely. But I just think it's a good film. It's the cheesy 80s movie, but then, like, if I wanted to watch a cheesy 80s movie, I'll watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off or The Gremlins. And for some reason, those are more connected with. And that, I don't know what that says about me. What does that say about me? I love Gremlins. I already connected. Like, subconsciously, I saw that little blonde kid next to the coach and was automatically like, you fucking gremlin. Look at him. He's a dick. I don't spit on him. What, spit on him or
Gremlins.
Yes, we did touch upon it in our Christmas episode.
Yeah, we did a little bit.
But it does deserve its own episode.
I wish one day we can do another one for Karate Kids and I can come back and speak about it a bit more.
And we need to do the Karate Kid remake as well with Jackie Chan.
That's true.
Jaden Smith. Do we have anything to add? Have you thought of any more points? Anything else to speak about Karate Kid, the original?
That's it, Luke. Other than I enjoy the fact that you still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did enjoy it.
That was good.
Also, very quickly, my mum pointed... So I watched this with my mother. It was lovely family time. She pointed out that, like, it's one of those... fake detectives... where you figure something out in the film, but the film's presenting it to you, but it's only when you, like, address it that it becomes fact in your brain. Mm. Mr. Miyagi knew which car Daniel was going to pick.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I bet he did. Yeah, that's a good...
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's like, yeah, of course he did, because his tags are on the keys.
Yeah.
And it's...
Oh, yeah.
And, like, so, like, he knew which car he was going to get picked, but then it's not until you address it that you go, yeah... Miyagi really liked that kid and knew him. And then had drinks with the kid, which was lovely. Depressing.
I just got one more little interesting thing that always blew my mind as a kid. From my mum, my mum used to tell me this when I was younger and I watched it with her. She said, and it blew my mind, I don't know if you know this, but Ralph Macchio, who plays Daniel, Mm-hmm. He's actually like, I think he's like in his like 30s when he made that movie. Yeah, I need to fact check it, but I'm 100% nearly sure that he's like a lot older than he looks. It's something like
what?
That. Yeah, he's like either late 20s, early 30s, or something, but he's like way older than he actually looks. Yeah,
that's mental.
I'm that's sure like, someone will correct us in the comments if me in the comments if not, but I'm pretty sure that is true.
Who knows? We'll find out very soon. But yeah, give it a watch, guys, and then watch the Cobra Kai. That's Charlie's recommendation that I've put in his mouth. There say that. Say those things that I've just said, Charlie.
Check out Cobra Kai if you like the character. It's good fun. I think it does add to it. It does. It is good fun. It's really good. I'd even recommend it to you, Luke. I think it adds to it, and it, you know, it brings its own flavor and makes you see the movies, particularly this one, in a different perspective. Which is good.
I like it. Socials.
Socials.
Where can you find us, Charles? Where are we?
You can find us. You can find us on Twitter, where you can talk to us. You can send me tweets at @favfilmisawful. FAV film is awful. Or you can find us on Instagram, Your Favorite Film Is Awful, and Facebook, Your Favorite Film Is Awful. And yeah, if you're not subscribed, subscribe, click the bell, all that jazz. I'm sure you'll be seeing it come up if you're watching this underneath me right now, hopefully, if I've done
exactly.
the job. And if you listen to it, just try and go by how I spell out Fav. And
Fav.
Message us there.
I think you can still call it Fave. You just have to.
Fave, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fav doesn't have the same ring.
It doesn't.
Fav maybe that's the American way of saying it. Somebody says it's Fav. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We don't need this discussion on the podcast.
No.
Anyway. Bye. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Bye-bye.
Take care. See you later, guys.